Good afternoon, Shilim. I mean, I was so happy to be here, but I didn't know that I was the first guest speaker. That's such an honor. So as Pastor John Michael has said, I'm from Virginia originally, and I grew up there, and then I came to Korea around 2010, so I've been here about like four-ish years, and then I came back from Busan last year. So for me, I love church plants. Like, I love going to other campuses. I love seeing the different, just different style of each house. So I love how when I go to the different campuses of New Philly, that it's so obviously New Philly. Like, as I was worshiping you here, I was like, man, this is our house. This is our DNA. But at the same time, it's so different. And I love that, because if each five campus was the same, it would be so boring. So I love how Shilim is so uniquely Shilim, and I'm really excited and honored to be here with you guys. I want to go right into it. So turn to 1 Samuel 17, verse 38 to 40. First Samuel 17, verse 38 to 40. Are you guys there? Okay. If you're there, I'm going to read with us, okay? Actually, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. So today what I want to talk to you about is taking your place. Take your place. Now, I told you that I love church plants, and one reason why I love it is because you have nowhere to hide. Church plants start off very, like, small, cozy, and I remember when Busan first started off, there was only 10 of us. In our first service, we had about, like another, like, 20 people come, right? So, honestly, I looked around and I realized, oh my goodness, our entire church plant team, we are the welcoming team, we're the service team, we are the ushers, we did everything. And I think as Shilimites, you guys have experienced that for yourselves, right? You kind of have nowhere to hide. Some of you guys are doing stuff that you never did before, and you have to kind of step up and rise up and take your place in that area. So what I'm saying is, you know, I feel like Shilim has already walked into taking your place. But I think there is a deepening work that God is doing in this new year. I feel like taking your place is not simply about take your place and this is it, I got it, you know. But God is doing a deepening work of maturity here at this hour. And if you even look at our theme right here, it's kind of in your face, right? When you walk in, it's like, bam, year of wealth. Can't hide from it. And if you look at this theme, I feel like this theme is for the mature. You know, when parents have children, they don't give a $100 bill to a little toddler. Because honestly, they're not going to know what to do with it. Even when they are in elementary school, they don't give them $1,000 because they don't know how to store it. They don't know how to budget. But to have a theme that says year of wealth, it says, hey, God's taking us into a deeper level of maturity. And if we do not grasp this deepening work that God is doing, we are constantly going to be in a shallow level right here. You know, when David tried on Saul's armor, it says here that he put it on and he tried in vain to go. But he could not go. He could not move because that was the armor that he did not wear ever before. He was not used to it. So he took it off. He got 5 smooth stones and a sling. And he said, I'm ready to take on Goliath. It was through the taking off of the armor that he realized, hey, I can't try to be like someone else. I can't try to be like Saul, but I need to be who I am. And that is how I'm going to take my place. So I feel like God is saying, hey, I'm doing a deepening, maturing work here at this hour. And I want you to take your place. But how? But how? The first way I want to kind of unpack for you is God wants you to take your place by, number one, being yourself. When I look at the Bible, I see two different like leader and then disciple relationships that really stand out to me. So the first relationship I see is between Moses and Joshua, right? And Moses, when you look at Moses, he is a powerful man of God. He sent the 10 plagues, right, into Egypt, took the Israelites out of slavery, and then parted the Red Sea, the entire ocean just, boom, divided through Moses. And then Joshua had to step up and say, hey, I am next in line. Right? God said, Joshua, you are next in line. You are going to be the next leader. And if I was Joshua, I would have looked at Moses and been like, really? He parted the Red Sea. What am I supposed to do? But thing was, Joshua was appointed to take the Israelites into the promised land. Essentially, Moses couldn't go in. It was Joshua that took the people into the land where it was flowing with milk and honey. Joshua was set. Joshua was appointed. We have Elijah and Elisha. And when you look at Elijah, he did so many miracles. There's a story of where people were worshiping Baal, which is like a false idol. And he cried out fire to fall down from heaven and say, hey, this is the living God. God, pour out your fire and show them you're real, right? So he was a man that said, fire fall down, and fire came down. And then the next in line was Elijah. So if I was Elijah, I would have said, are you serious? Elijah poured out fire to fall. How am I supposed to take his place? But the thing was, Elijah was the one that did double portions of the things, the signs and wonders that Elijah did. So it was the next generation, the next set of leaders that really took it into the next level. And I feel like God is saying, hey, when we look at our church leaders here, there are so many appointed leaders. There are so many anointed leaders. They can do signs and wonders. They can preach powerfully. They can call forth a prophetic word and it's accurate. How can I be like that? When I look at Pastor Christian and Pastor Aaron, how can I be like that? But the thing is, God wants you to specifically take your place by being yourself. David could not go against Goliath by being Saul. When he tried to put on Saul's armor, it did not work. He could not move. But once he took it off, he realized, man, I can be myself. I can go forth who I am because God has appointed me to go and attack Goliath. It was only through the letting go of the armor that he realized he can take his place. You know, today is Mission Send-Off, and I was actually part of the first wave that went to India. So shout out to India team. Yeah, 2 people. So we were part of the India team, and Joanna was the team leader. I was the team preacher. And I remember before I left for India, I had so much fear. And it was my first time being a team preacher to a very like spiritually intense country. And I went to India before. I actually went earlier that year. So it was my second time going to India in 1 year. And I remember like it was such an awesome trip. But one thing I kind of got shocked at was how women were not respected in India. So the men and the women, they sit separately. I even had Like, I even went up to pastors and I would shake their hands and they would straight up bypass me and go to someone else. You know, like, it was like shocking to me because I've never experienced that. So I remember as I heard I was the first, like, I was a team preacher for India, I was excited and honored, but then it was mixed with this, like, fear. Like, really, God? Like, why me? Why me? And anytime anyone prayed for me before the trip, I would cry because I just had so much fear. People would be like, God is with you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And when Pastor Aaron, she took me aside and she was saying, hey, you know, Anna, the first time I was a teen preacher was to India. And I got so encouraged. I was like, wow, that's so awesome. And Pastor Aaron, she's like my hero. Like, I just love her. I honestly wouldn't be doing full-time ministry if I didn't see, like, an example like her in ministry. So, like, when I heard that, I was greatly encouraged. And then a week later, I was greatly discouraged. Because I realized, man, I have such big shoes to fill. I know people remember Pastor Aaron. When I went to India, even the first time, they said, Pastor Aaron, I love her. She's like such an anointed preacher. And I had so much fear. And right before the trip, I heard God ask me, Anna, you have a choice in front of you. You can either continue in your fear, or you can continue in what I'm saying to you. There is no one else that I appointed and set for India at this time, only you. So you can believe that, or you can continue to cower and have fear and already enter India in defeat. Even before I preach a sermon, already enter in defeat. And I felt like the fear of the Lord come on me. Like, man, what am I going to do with this time? Am I going to lead my team into his presence and into victory? Or am I just going to continue to battle with myself? And by the grace of God, I was like, God, I choose to take my place. And I know that I cannot do it by being Pastor Aaron. I know that I cannot do it by being someone else, but I have to do it by being me. So, as a son of New Philly, I'm going to go knowing that you're sending me, and I'm going to go in faith. And there came a time when God really showed his faithfulness. Like, every sermon, I would be like, Jesus, help me! You know, God, you're with me, and all of that. And there was this one message that I preached, and it was, like, very, like, I knew it was, I had to preach that message at that time. And I preached it. It was good. It was anointed. I felt it, you know, and I sat down and I was like, that was good, God. Thank you for being with me. I just felt such an ease, you know, that was good. But then the native pastor, Pastor John, went up there and he said, that's exactly what I wanted to hear for this conference, this youth revival conference. Everything that Pastor Anna preached, I prayed the night before. God, I want to see this. God, I want to see this. God, I want to see this. And she preached it word for word. So thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit. And when I heard that, I just felt confirmation. Like, man, when you really choose to hear God and obey God and put your belief not in yourself, but in God, he will prove himself faithful. So I think when we look at just the different sets of leaders at our house, it's very tempting to get discouraged and say, how can I be like that? How can I be like Pastor JM, who's so powerful and anointed? How can I lead worship like Pastor John, who's so anointed? But thing is, God always says, hey, there's no one else that can be you, so just be you. Be yourself, because it's the most powerful when you are you. The second way that you can take your place is to have confidence in what you believe in. Have confidence in what you believe in. And one of our pastors says it like this: have faith in faith. And what I mean by that is that sometimes as Christians, we put more faith in our fears. We put more faith in what we are scared of and what we doubt. Don't you? I do that a lot. Like, God, I know you called me to be India team preacher, but are you sure? Are you sure? I know it, but can you give me another sign? I'm not quite 100% sure. God, I know you called me to Korea, but can you give me a sign if I'm supposed to stay longer? God, I know you called me to this job, to be this type of person, to be an intern pastor. Are you sure though? Can you give me a sign? And we spend so much time battling our doubts and battling our fears. But I want to say the only way that you can take your place is by putting your faith in your faith, in what God has already said, in what God has already spoken to you. When God calls you powerful, don't wrestle with that. That's God's word and that's God's truth to you. You are powerful. You are well able. You are well equipped. So when we choose to believe that, we are choosing much more to believe and put weight on His words rather than our fears and our doubts. Have faith in your faith and not faith in your doubts. Hebrews 10:35, I want to read this to you. It says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. In the NIV, it says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. And when I read that, I was like, wow, because I consider myself a confident person. And I didn't know that confidence will richly reward me. I didn't know that confidence will come back to you. When you are confident in who God is and the words and the truths that He speaks to you, it says here in Hebrews that you will be greatly rewarded. That means what you continue to believe in, it will come back to you. When you are saying, God, you are my healer, and you're continuously believing that, it will come back to you. God will manifest His healing upon you. When you're saying, God, I believe that you love my family and you're going to provide breakthrough for my family and have confidence in that, it will come back to you. He will break through for your family. He will meet and encounter you. So when you have confidence, do not throw away. Do not just hold on to it and let it go. Have enduring confidence. Have enduring faith. Because it will come as a reward back to you. You know, when Saul was anointed king, there was such a difference in the way that he responded from David. When Saul was anointed king, it says that he hid behind the baggage. So by the time it came to unveil the king and say, this is the king, Israel, of who you wanted so much, Samuel said, here he is. And then he looked and there's no one. Samuel's like, Saul, where are you? And then they looked and they saw that he was behind the baggage. He was hiding. He was hiding because he was so scared. And constantly, even after he was anointed, even after he was unveiled, even after he became king, he constantly battled with himself. God, are you sure that I'm king? Did you really secure this kingdom in my hand? Did you really set me to be the leader over this people? And because he constantly doubted, he put more of his fear and trust in men and the signs that he saw in his natural eyes rather than what God told him. And I feel like if Saul really put his faith and confidence in what he believed in, then the kingdom would have never been taken away from him. It was when Samuel came and said, I want to sacrifice and build an altar, that Saul broke into fear. And when he saw the people leaving, he said, let's do the altar now. I can't wait for Samuel. I don't want the people to go. So he built and sacrificed the altar. Right then, when Samuel's word was said, hey, I want you to wait, he gave in to fear of man. Because he constantly wrestled with his doubt. And in the end, Saul's constant wrestling with doubt, it wasn't cute. It wasn't humility. It wasn't even like, it wasn't a good thing anymore. In the end, God said, hey, I'm going to take away the kingdom from you because I see that you don't have my heart. You don't carry my heart. You don't have confidence in me. And God took the kingdom away because his confidence was not in God. But thing is, when David was anointed king, it was very different. David was a shepherd boy. He was anointed king, the last of his brothers that were like, you know, he had a lot of brothers, 7 brothers. And he was anointed king out of all of his brothers. And David said, hey, I know that I'm the youngest out of my family. I know that I am only a shepherd boy, but I believe that God, you are calling me king. And he took that in faith. The chapter right after he was anointed king, that's when he kills Goliath. That's when he goes out and says, I'm ready to conquer for my God. It was immediate. That action was immediate. There was no hesitation. There was no delay. But he received the calling that God put on him. And then he went out in power and in boldness. There was a difference between the way that Saul and David took their anointing and took their calling. I believe that Saul, he walked in pride. And I think a lot of people can say, man, he wrestled with self-doubt. He wrestled with self-pity. And when we think of pride, we think of arrogance first, right? A person that's like a know-it-all, a person that thinks that they're the best. And I think that is pride. That's arrogance. But another aspect of pride is self-pity. When they say, hey, I'm not worthy. Hey, I'm not equipped to do this. I don't think I can. I'm weak. Do you know who I am? In the end, all of those two things points back to you, not to God. So when we are wrestling with self-pity, all of that is still pride and still eyes focused on you, not God. And because Saul had pride, he was not able to fulfill and carry out the calling that God originally set over his life. David didn't look back, but he had faith and confidence in who God called him to be and in God's words. So when we are able to take our place, it is when we have confidence in what we believe in. The third way that you have can take your place and know that you are who God called you to be is to be aligned with God's word. So when you are aligned with God's heart, you are aligned with his character, and you are aligned with what he is thinking and the way that he is moving. And I feel like the best way to do that is through word and through prayer. That's the best way to catch God's heart. You know, when David was anointed king, he didn't just come out as a shepherd boy and said, okay, I'm ready to be king. There was a preparation and a season that God took David through so that when he was ready to be publicly unveiled, David was ready. When he was a shepherd boy, he spent countless hours worshiping God, praising God, lifting up worship and writing songs to God. That was all in his quiet time, all of his alone time when he was just a shepherd boy. But in that hidden place, there was a preparation that was happening. There was a readying that was happening. And by the time he was king, he knew that he was well able and he was confident because of all of that thing that took place when he was hidden. So when we are aligned with God's heart, we can take our place with boldness because we know who God is and we know this is what he's calling us to be. And because of that, we have confidence. You know, David was not recklessly bold when he went out to kill Goliath. Meaning, when he saw Goliath, he didn't say, yes, he's a big guy. Let me show how strong I am. Let me go out in the name of the Lord and kill him because I know I'm anointed king. He didn't do that because he was not recklessly bold. There wasn't this foolish zealousness that came over him. But rather, when he saw Goliath mock the name of God, there was this holy, righteous anger that overtook him and said, hey, he is profaning my God's name. And I know that God's name cannot be thrown down into the dirt. That's not who God is. That's not who my father is. And because he is profaning my God's name, I'm going to go out and show that this God, he is a God that you need to fear. So that's why David went out. Not because he was foolishly, recklessly bold, but there is this confidence in knowing that this is God's character, and because I know his heart, I can go out in confidence. So we can take our place by being aligned with God's heart. And that comes through word, the scripture, and that also comes through prayer. When I went to Busan to be part of the Busan church plant, I eventually became service team leader. And then when I came back to Hongdae, I became the welcoming team leader. And both of these ministries have really shaped who I am today. Like, not just my leadership, but I think my personality and my character. It really helped that I was on service team and welcoming team. But it's so funny because both times I was approached to be the leader of these two ministry teams, I was so shocked. And I was like, when Caleb approached me, Pastor Caleb, he approached me to become service team leader. He said, Anna, I want you to be service team leader. And I looked at him and I said, do you know who I am? I make other people serve me. And I know that's like a very haughty statement. But really, I'm the oldest out of like my brother and my sister. And you know, as the oldest, growing up, I would make them do stuff. And I remember there's this one time I was in the living room, and then the phone started to ring. It was like, ding, ding. And I was like, Ayong, like to my sister, who was all the way upstairs. Ayong, Ayong. She came running. She goes, what's wrong? What's wrong? I was like, pick up the phone. It was right next to me. Like, that's how much, like, I just didn't want to serve. So when Pastor Caleb told me to be service team leader, I was so shocked. And it was really hard because I had to now clean up after people. Like every time people left bulletins and like cups and like, bless you. So be nice to service team. And when I became welcoming team leader, Rona, who was the welcoming team leader before, she sat me down. She said, I want you to be welcoming team leader. And I said, are you serious? Do you know who I am? I am not friendly. Like, you guys are laughing, but like, if some of you guys know before, like, I'm the type of person that if there's newcomers there or like people that like, you know, like, I'd be like, oh, hey, like, da, 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 you know, talk to my own friends. And that's just who I was. I was very like shy, and I didn't like small talk. I didn't like welcoming people. Like, I just didn't like it. So I remember, like, both of these teams, or ministry teams, I became the leader, and it was really hard because these were things I felt like I personally lacked. I didn't have the servant's heart. I didn't have the welcoming heart. I wasn't hospitable. And at times, I had to be like, God, are you serious? Why did you put me into, like, not only being a member, but a leader over these two teams? I don't know how to do it. And through praying for this team and reading God's word, I slowly felt my heart change. Slowly felt my heart change. It was a gradual work. But one day, I remember I was like, cleaning up naturally over after service, or like helping people to their seats and like, you know, things like that. And I found myself like really enjoying it. It was really like easy for me. And I had to stop and take a step back and be like, wow, God, you did such a marvelous work, because you know how hard my heart was. But for God to come and to soften my heart, to teach me how to serve his people, how to have a heart for the lost and broken. Now when I see people, I find myself crying for people that are not plugged in to our church. There's this man, I want everyone to come to our church and know that this is family. We love you, you know? And that heart was not, it was not there in the beginning. But as I began to serve, and as I began to get into God's presence and read his words, scripture after scripture, proving that he is love and proving that he is steadfast, slowly I felt my heart change and my heart soften. And I realized that as I was set to be the ministry team leader for welcoming and service team, I could only do it well and I could only lead well if I knew God's heart for both of these ministries. And I could only do it well also if I knew PC and PE's heart as the lead pastors of the house. I couldn't do my own thing that I wanted to do. You know what I mean? That's not what good leaders do. But I had to constantly look to them. Hey, am I doing it within the restrictions of their heart? But am I also doing it by being myself? And through that, as I balanced both of these different tensions and aspects by being in sonship, but also by being myself, I saw my teams really flourish. And I saw my team members growing into new levels and them experiencing God and them experiencing breakthrough. I had this particular service team member at Busan. And I can share his name? Okay. Anyways, he was like a really, you know, he was very lost and broken. And when he first came to Busan, he was very dark. He gave me all sorts of attitude because he was not used to submitting and all of that. And we were first friends. And then later on, I became a service team leader. So he had issues with that. And I remember, like, I was tempted in my flesh to get angry at him. Right? Why are you being like that, punk? But then later, like, God took me into a time of prayer with him. And I have not cried for a person as much as I did for him. Like, I just cried. Even if, like, he gave me attitude that Sunday, I went home and I prayed and I cried, you know? Because I just felt God's heart for him. And there came one day, a year later, when he came up to me and he said, "Hey, Anna, I'm really sorry for everything I did to you. I know I caused you a lot of pain. And I know I made you cry a lot. But thank you so much for never giving up on me. Thank you so much for manifesting a heart that I didn't see in leaders before." And he actually did his testimony on that later on. Not just me, but Pastors Caleb and Mina, all the leaders at Busan. He felt so much breakthrough because of that constant love. And I feel like we are able to take our place and be powerful and effective if we are only aligned with God's heart, but we do it by knowing who he calls us to be. And also do it by being ourselves. So the word that I want to really give out to specifically this campus is, man, God loves this campus. And I sensed that as I was worshiping with you guys. There's just an extravagant worship here, but there's also a deep love here. And I know that this is the newest church plant of New Philly, but I see that God is doing a deep work here for this campus. And I want to see Shilim rise up to new levels of breakthrough and new levels of authority. But I don't want to see Shilim do it by copying other campuses. I want to see Shilim rise up, taking your place by being yourselves, by being uniquely Shilim. And by that way, there's going to be full power and full authority. You know, when David faced Goliath, it was right after he got anointed king, And Goliath wasn't there for, like, God didn't put Goliath there to prove to David, hey, this is a big giant, and he's actually going to kill you, and then you're going to go back to being a shepherd boy. No. He put him there so that David can rise up and go into the new level. David was never the same after he defeated Goliath. And when we enter into new levels, there's going to be tension and there's going to be discomfort. But the thing is, God is setting you up to conquer what's in front of you, to do with excellence what's in front of you, because he's saying you're ready to go into the new level, to go into the next level of breakthrough, because I'm calling you ready, because I've appointed you, and because I have set you. And as you put your confidence in what I am telling you, not your fears, not your doubts, know that you can go forth in power and in boldness. I want to pray.